find Jesus Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We're coming from to you live from the Mercy Live Up Studios, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, for whom we have Blessman Ministries and the People Abstract Company to thank so that that can be happening today. Folks, on a rainy Wednesday morning here in Des Moines, we're coming to you from a day that has really started out for most of us here in tragedy. Two police officers in the middle of the night last night were ambushed in their squad cars. This wasn't a firefight or anything like this. This was someone who came up and ambushed someone who didn't know what was going on. Twice, two police officers in the metro area, one Urbandale police officer, one Des Moines police officer, died in the middle of the night. We don't have too much more between myself and Bud, and there's certainly other newscasts that would do better of filling you in, but we just want to say at the top of the broadcast how much our prayers go out for their souls, for everyone and their families who's suffering right now, and for the Des Moines community that is collectively suffering this tragedy.
Yeah, a very somber feel this morning, Bo, and with the show, on the show, we talk a lot about the common good and about seeking a just society. We're thankful for police officers who do put their own safety and lives on the line to help seek justice. And, you know, knowing friends even in this area who serve in things like that, it's just it's sort of a gloomy morning. And in this time where a lot of times we're just kind of confused or disoriented by the violence, of course, on a show like this one, we turn to God, to the Prince of Peace. We just offer up our prayers for peace and reconciliation among peoples, but especially in our time, in this place, for the peace and safety of all those living nearby.
Today's November 2nd. This is the Feast of All Souls, and a poignant reminder that we always have our dead brothers and sisters among us, and that this is actually a work of the common good as well, that when people pass away from this life, they are not gone in any way, but they are still a central part of our community. And so with this reminder that we pray for those who have died today, especially, like you said, but working for the common good, but for all of our dead, that we remember them. And in fact, in the third segment, we will do a little bit of that, a special moment for all souls. Rather than great moments in church history, we have a prayer for all souls and those who have died. It's hard to do so, but we want to make sure to keep going with what we have on the program. Today we have a guest that we're going to interview in the second segment, Gabriel Sanchez, talking about economic solidarity. But also coming up, Bud, Mercy College of Health Sciences, who underwrites our program, where you and I are both professors. We have two events that are coming up next week. We're going to be live and do a live remote on the campus on Wednesday. So our show will be an hour long next week, 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. In the Sullivan Center at Mercy College. And then also on Thursday, November 10th at 6 p.m., we have the Faith and Healing series with Father Andrea Vicini, who you actually set up a talk with last year.
Yeah, I think it'll be great to have Father Vicini at Mercy College. He's going to be talking about spiritual support at the end of life, and so it'll be something that I think a lot of Catholics in the area will be interested to hear. I'm excited as well to be on campus next week. We have a lot of great friends and great people to talk to there. So I think next week's show is going to be a lot of fun. Have a great conversation down at Mercy College.
Please stick with us. We're going to talk about economic solidarity with Gabriel Sanchez. And one more time, like we said, everyone here at Iowa Catholic Radio and for Bud and myself, our prayers go out to the officers who lost their lives, their family, and for our mourning community of the Des Moines metro area. But please stick around, and we'll have a show for you just here in a minute.
Looking for a family doctor? Vitae Family Cares physician Greg McKernan, a DO, has practiced for 27 years, seeing patients of all ages. Vitae is Latin for life, and as a pro-life physician, Dr. McKernan is certified in NAPRO technology. Located at 50th and I-235 in West Des Moines, VitaeFamilyCare.com.
Thank you, Northwest Bank, for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Northwest Bank, offering the latest banking conveniences to help make your life easier. Online at bank-northwest.com.
Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for underwriting Dowling 365. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs by establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
Join us, Joe Stopulis, and Father Zach Kautsky for Man Up, airing every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. as we discuss issues to help men of faith.
Thank you to John Hirata with Farm Bureau and Adele for underwriting Man Up.
Farm Bureau agent John Hirata.
Insurance can be simple. 515-559-4266.
Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. I'm Bo Bonner with Bud Marr. We're going to be talking today about economic solidarity with our friend Gabriel Sanchez. Gabriel is an attorney with experience in aviation and commerce law. He's an editor at Angeles Press, and he's actually a writer for one of my favorite blogs, opuspublicum.com. For the non-Latin people out there, that's opuspublicum.com. Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be on.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on and to talk about a subject that I think is, to be quite honest, rather thorny. People hear economic and solidarity together and think that we are going to have him, you know, sign a protest form or a pamphlet or something like that. But I want to assure everyone out there that you're the type of person that we need to talk to, because you can put a personal element to some of the things that we're going to talk about. So if you don't mind, can you run us through where, you know, the economic teachings of the church maybe started to be more central in your life, or come up more often, and alter the way that you thought about some of these things?
Sure. Before I begin, I want to apologize to everybody. I'm battling back a little bit of an illness, so my voice is not 100% right now, but I will do my best. As far as personally goes, as you mentioned already, I'm an attorney, and back in 2007, I started doing a lot of work in aviation law. I had a fellowship sponsored by United Airlines and FedEx, and I worked through DePaul University in Chicago. And at that point in time, it was, well, just two things. One, I mean, I consider myself a conservative, and at least in the legal academic environment, conservative typically meant libertarian. So it was easy to sort of align myself with a more libertarian approach to economics. In other words, you know, the government gets its hands off of regulating industries, reduce taxes, so on and so forth. Also, at the same time, too, having studied aviation law and the history of regulation of the airline industry and the history of regulation of international trade, I became rather skeptical of regulation in general, and rather skeptical of the ability of government bureaucrats to properly regulate the economy. And I held to that for quite a while, and I became very interested in law and economics, which was a movement that really began in the 1970s. It was applying neoclassical economic analysis to legal matters and legal issues, and I became very enamored with that. But then around 2011, 2012, I started reading more deeply into what the church taught on economics, specifically, you know, the great encyclicals like Rerum Novarum and Quadragesimo Anno and so on and so forth, and I started to sort of realize that, you know, while economics can, in theory, sort of supply the means to particular ends, how an economic order should look like, really it's the Catholic Church through teaching, you know, on faith and morals that can really give us an idea, well, can give us clearly, I should say, an idea of what those ends ought to be. So, for example, Leo XIII teaches about just wages, teaches about, you know, sort of a nascent teaching on solidarity, certainly talks about the need for the government to step in and help out the least well-off in society, and that's expanded by Pius XI and really continues on all the way up to our current Pope, Pope Francis, and looking about how the government needs to order the economy. And for me, as a Catholic, I started to really start taking that seriously, and it did require me to sort of do a 180 in some of my thinking in terms of looking at how not necessarily the federal government as they have it today, but how government institutions can and ought to regulate the economy in order to better meet those ends that the popes have articulated.
Well, one of the best things about that story right there, Gabriel, that I like, that I think if people maybe can't hang with every single idea about economics. I understand that it's not for everyone. What I love that you demonstrate for people is that you allowed the church's teaching to trouble your mindset about a field that you are an expert in. You were working in economic law, the aviation law, and instead of just saying like, well, I can brush aside what the church says, you allowed that to sort of trouble your mind. And I think you do a great job of demonstrating that it's not that the church holds some sort of faction. They're not on one side of the equation. Wherever you are in sort of economic theory, the church has something for you, not to just, you know, wink and nod whatever you think, but that you can take that in and allow that to prayerfully trouble what you think and maybe actually find yourself a different person at the end of that process.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it did take a while. Like I said, I think I began really taking it seriously in 2011, and it probably wasn't until maybe 2013 that I sort of had made the full transition over and said, okay, look, while economics, and by economics, I mean, obviously, there's multiple different disciplines, sub-disciplines within economics. While economic theory as a behavioral science might have something to say, again, about how to achieve, or what means are necessary to achieve certain ends, it's the church, like, again, through revelation, through natural reason, that helps supply us with those ends. And that's what I had to sort of come to grips with. I think today there's a lot of Catholics who are prejudiced by the idea that, well, economics is a hard science like physics or like biology, for instance, and that whatever economics says, must be the truth, and that the church has no competency to speak on these matters. And that's, in my mind, completely false. I mean, first of all, economics, like I said, is not a static science. You have, the Chicago school, the Austrian school, various subdisciplines of Keynesianism, Marxist economics, for instance, and all these different disciplines and subdisciplines within economics. I mean, they have very strong disagreements with one another. And if you read into the literature, it's really hard to find all that many points where they all converge together. And so I think it's a red herring when Catholics especially say, oh, well, economic science says this, because really, I mean, it's a particular, discipline or ideology of economics that's saying a particular thing. And I think what we have to do is humbly submit to what the church teaches and really internalize that. And really, and I think you brought up a good point about praying about it, because prayer is really essential here to really take that in, what the church teaches, and really to humbly submit ourselves to that. I think it's completely necessary, but it's something that we are not accustomed to, at least not here in the United States.
Hi, Gabriel. This is Bud Maher, and thank you for sharing some of your personal story. I know you have your blog, and you talk about some of these issues, some of these truths in that context. As Catholics, something that Bo said kind of triggered something for me. There's a certain way in which these conversations take place in the culture at large. And I worry sometimes that we get drawn into those ways of thinking, the way that we might hear it in the media or in larger political public discourse. What kind of unique contributions do Catholics have to bring to the table? Like, what kind of truths from Catholic tradition can we bring into conversations about economics here and now in the United States?
Well, I think what's essential for Catholics to really articulate is that when it comes to the economic teachings of the church and what we believe or we're supposed to believe and hold to be true, we don't fit neatly into sort of a prepackaged ideological box. In other words, if you look at sort of what the Republicans have long championed, reduced government and low taxes and so forth. While some of that's good, and we can defend that, on the other side, the Democrats, the sort of the post-New Deal articulation of social safety nets, a certain amount of regulation, especially for large-scale industries that have a huge effect on the economy, like the finance industry, for instance, we can embrace some of that as well. And I think what we need to say is that, Look, I mean, on both sides, both the Democrats, both the Republicans, or however you want to divide it, liberals and conservatives, left and right, both sides are saying something good, but they're not all the way there. In other words, they're too extreme in one way or the other. In other words, maybe the Democrats support too much centralization and don't give enough room for subsidiarity, which, of course, is a principle of Catholic social teaching. On the Republican side, it's too individualistic. There's not enough focus on the common good. that, you know, that needs to be corrected. And I think as Catholics, we can step in there and say, look, you know, we see good on each side, but at the same time, too, you're not all the way there. And we can supply, you know, what's missing here. And we have to be brave enough and we have to be sure enough in our beliefs not to fall into the temptation of wanting to align with left or right, as it's conventionally understood. We have to stand on our own. We have to be who we are, and that's Catholics. And it's really difficult right now, I think, in our current political environment, but that's what's required of us.
You're listening to The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud Marr. We're talking with Gabriel Sanchez about economic solidarity. On the notion of solidarity, Gabriel, I think all of these conversations that we're deciding to have, we joked around with people when we told them that we wanted to make a radio show about the common good, that we're like, because we want to make everyone mad and try to talk about difficult things that you can't talk about in 30 minutes. So I'm not acting like we're going to clear everything up for people, but to begin a conversation about how the notion of solidarity and Catholic understandings of private property have to be held together in intention. Is there any sort of starting advice for people out there listening about how maybe the ways we talk about private property and solidarity in a Catholic social teaching key will sound different or look different than how many of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters would talk about those two issues?
Well, I think on the issue of private property, while we as Catholics, you know, following the teachings of the popes, we recognize a right to private property. I think what separates us from, say, libertarians, or certainly probably a large swath of people who identify as the Republican Party, is that we do not believe in an absolute right to private property. In other words, private property, you know, the right to private property is only good insofar as it's subservient to the common good, and insofar that it helps promote the common good, that it helps promote, you know, a just and virtuous society. When that doesn't happen, or when, you know, property rights are absolutized to the point where you have people who are, you know, for example, the least well off in society don't have enough to sustain themselves, don't have enough means to get basic health care, basic nutrition through access to food, then that's a problem. And then we have to start thinking about how do we resolve that. But at the same time, too, we're not, I mean, on the other end of things, when it comes to, like I said earlier, when it comes to like the Democrats and the left, you know, we're not wholly skeptical, again, of private property. And we're not, we don't take the position that necessarily the federal government needs to step in at all times and all means to, you know, to resolve social issues and resolve social problems, that this can be, this can be taken care of at the lowest possible level, or at least that's what we shoot for under the principle of subsidiarity. When it comes to solidarity, that's trickier, because I think people hear solidarity and they think of labor unions. And while there's nothing wrong with labor unions, and certainly there's nothing wrong with the guild system that prevailed during the Middle Ages, when we think of labor unions now, we tend to think of maybe, you know, the current scheme of unionization in the United States, which is, you know, has some problems with it, especially in terms of their political orientation, supporting the Democrats, supporting issues like abortion, for instance, or access to abortion. And I think we have to try to get people away from that mindset. When we talk about solidarity, when we talk about unions, when we talk about guilds, we're not necessarily talking about unions as we see them today here in the United States, around the world. What we're really talking about is a way for labor to come together, different industries to work together, to cooperate together. And that's something we don't tend to think about, because I think we tend to take a very antagonistic view of, you know, how labor and capital relate to each other. And that's something that I think as Catholics we have to get away from.
Gabriel, this next question is kind of a tough one, in the sense that I know when we're talking about these matters, you're always dealing with concrete situations, so it's going to involve prudential judgments on the ground. But just a few seconds ago, you were talking about the sort of idea of guilds or unions and cooperation among different industries. Are there other concrete ways, like sort of putting flesh on the bones here, that Catholic communities at the local level can live more deeply into this idea of economic solidarity?
I think there is. I'll give you a little example from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I happen to live. We have a pharmacy here, K Pharmacy. It is owned and run by Catholics, and they don't sell birth control at all. No condoms, no nothing. And in my mind, even though it's a little bit out of the way for me to go to K Pharmacy, I drive to K Pharmacy, I go there, I support it. I always encourage other Catholics to go there to support it. And I would say that anywhere you go, if you know a business that is a Catholic business that treats its workers fairly, that pays just wages, that lives by the teachings of the Catholic Church, not just on economics, but moral teachings as well, like, for example, on contraception, support those businesses. If you live especially in a smaller community and you know the fellow Catholics there, you know, especially ones who run businesses, maybe they run a law firm, maybe they run a bakery, who knows, all kinds of things. Get together, talk about your problems, talk about what might, you know, some of the challenges that are facing you. Talk about, you know, ways that you can support one another. And I'm not saying this in a way to try to exclude non-Catholics, obviously, from prospering economically, but as Catholics, I think we owe it to ourselves, and I think we owe it to the communities around us, at least as a demonstration, to show that, hey, you know, we can live by the teachings of the Church, or at least the best we can under current circumstances. We support each other. We're there for each other. Whether you're a businessman, whether you're a laborer, you can form cooperatives, form ways of mutual support, and I think that's where it has to begin, because obviously we're not going to get some sort of magical top-down change. I mean, I think that's magical thinking, and we can't hold on to that. But what we can do, I said, at the local level with one another is, again, share our experiences and try to support one another. And it might be tough at first. It probably is always going to be a little bit difficult, especially in the current environment. But I think that's really where these things have to begin.
I think that that's a beautiful way to really wrap up what we've been talking about. Because what I want to press people on, this is what I hear from what you said, solidarity is actually about ownership, but not ownership of private property, ownership of our common destiny together on many different levels. One of the things I think is problematic is when we think about the economy sort of like as this hard science, like you were talking about earlier, what we'd start to do is act like it's this sort of abstract realm that we're just at the mercy of. But what economic solidarity says is our economy is ours. And if we're not going to go out and find people, like you said, who operate like we think the Catholic Church teaches, if we're not going to get involved where it's our economy, solidarity will never work. It has to start with us, and it has to start with that fundamental shift in the way that we view these things.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, It's step by step, and I think even if you are a Catholic working in a secular environment, whether it's, again, I'm using a law firm example because that's my background, but I mean, it could be a bank, it could be anywhere. I think even just the small demonstrations of our faith is really, really important. In other words, you know, if you have vacation time, you use it on holy days of obligation, for instance. Don't be ashamed of the fact that maybe, you know, you take a day off and take time off during the day to go to church. Don't be ashamed of prayer. Don't be ashamed of, you know, if you're in the, you know, the public lunchroom, to, you know, cross yourself before eating. And find fellow Catholics. Find fellow Catholics in your workplace. Find fellow Catholics around you at your parish. Again, come together, support one another, listen to each other's, you know, the struggle they might have, whether you're a laborer, whether you're a business owner. You got to find ways to come together, and that's where it's all going to begin. Because once again, you know, the Church isn't going to do it for you. You know, the bishops aren't going to come and magically organize things and make things all right for everybody. And we certainly know with our current political situation in the United States, you know, we're drifting further and further away from a right ordered society, both economically and politically and socially. And so this time more than any, it's imperative for like-minded Catholics to really band together and to really find ways to help each other and move forward, because otherwise, you know, otherwise you're just lost. I think you're lost into yourself, and you're going to get swallowed up by the, you know, the secular society around you.
Well, Gabriel Sanchez, it's been wonderful talking with you. Gabriel Sanchez, like we said, an attorney, editor at Angelus Press, and you can read more of his work at opuspublicum.com. Gabriel, thanks for joining us. We really appreciated
it.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a good day, guys.
God bless.
All right.
Well, stick with us after this minute break. We'll be back, and we'll close up the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher.
Thank you for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Northwest Bank, offering the latest banking conveniences to help make your life easier. Online at bank-northwest.com.
Announcing our new Encounter Jesus 1 Week Challenge campaign, Evangelization Made Easy. You can participate in Encounter Jesus by simply inviting your friends and family to listen to Iowa Catholic Radio for 1 week. Whether for 15 minutes a day or 2 hours a day, the Lord is able to touch lives through Catholic Radio. We're so excited to partner with different parishes in the Encounter Jesus 1 Week Challenge. Go to iowacatholicradio.com to find out when your parish is doing their week.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for supporting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. 515-225-6742. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
We're back with the Uncommon Good, and like we've said at the top of the broadcast, with today's somber news and the tragedy that we've all been through, instead of doing great moments in church history, we'll hold off and we'll do that next week. This week we're going to actually read a prayer from the Monastic Prayers for the Dead, as this is All Souls Day, so not only for the police officers who lost their lives earlier today, but for all of our loved ones who have lost their lives. It's a long prayer, so stick with me, but this is the prayer. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearest brother and sister, we commend you to Almighty God, and we entrust you to Him who created you, so that when you, by your dying you have paid the debt to which every man is subject, you may return to your Maker, to Him whom formed you from the clay of the earth. And then when your soul goes forth from your body, may the radiant company of angels come to meet you. May the assembly of the apostles, our judges, welcome you. May the victorious army of white-robed martyrs meet you on your way. May the glittering throng of confessors, bright as lilies, gather about you. May the glorious choir of virgins receive you. May the patriarchs enfold you in the embrace of blessed peace. May St. Joseph, beloved patron of the dying, raise you high in hope, and may the Holy Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, lovingly turn her eyes toward you. And then gentle and joyful, may Christ Jesus appear before you to assign you a place forever among those who stand in His presence. May you never know anything of the horror and the darkness, of the shrieking and the flames, of the anguish and the place of torment. May the most foul tempter with his mob fall back before you. May he tremble at your coming with your escort of angels and flee into the dread chaos of eternal night. May God arise and his enemies be scattered, and may those who hate him flee before his face. As smoke vanishes, so let them vanish. As wax melts before fire, so may sinners perish before God. But let good men feast and rejoice in the sight of God. May shame and confusion strike the cohorts of hell, and may the slaves of the tempter not dare to bar your way. May Christ, who was crucified for your sake, free you from excruciating pain. May Christ, who died for you, free you from the death that never ends. May Christ, the Son of the living God, set you in the evergreen loveliness of his paradise, and may he, the true shepherd, recognize you as one of his own. May he free you from all your sins and assign you a place at his right hand in the company of his elect. May you see your Redeemer face to face, standing in his presence forever. May you see with joyful eyes truth revealed in all his fullness. And so, having taken your place in the ranks of the blessed, may you enjoy the happiness of divine contemplation forever and ever. Amen. But that's our show for today. God bless everybody, and may God show peace in the city of Des Moines, who needs it so much. Thanks, Bud.
Yep, thank you.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.